This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham.
A question for anyone listening who's had good success in the world of business. Have you ever found yourself thinking, okay, enough status and wealth already. What I want now is to use my skills to help others in need. A question for anyone listening who depends on a paycheck. Have you ever wondered to yourself, what would happen if I lost my job, couldn't get another, and found myself and my family dependent on the charity of others? At least one of this hour's guests has insight on both these questions. Previously a high-level official with one of America's most powerful lobbying groups, he left that post for a deeper calling. Today, he heads up the regional food bank struggling to feed growing numbers of the poor across central and western Virginia. And increasingly, it is a struggle. We get the full story from Larry Zippin and others working with the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Providing food for the poor is our focus today. If you have thoughts on that or questions, you're invited to join the conversation at any time in the hour ahead. Our call-in number is 888-WMRA-TALK. That translates to 888-967-2825. Or you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. Later in the program, we talk with a woman who's leading a church group effort to get food to increasing numbers of people in need in a part of the state you might not expect, just south of Charlottesville. We also expect to hear from another woman who recently left her career as a successful attorney to work full-time in efforts to get food to the needy. But we begin with a man who has had an unusual career track of his own, one that brought him a bit more than 1 year ago to the post of chief executive for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, Lawrence Zippin. Mr. Zippin, welcome to Virginia Insight.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, Larry, you've asked me ahead of time not to focus too much on your personal story, as fascinating as it is, because you don't want this to be about you. You want it to be about the work and the need that the food bank is doing and finding. I got to tell you that for what I know about you and what I know about the two other guests and how that you have all come to this calling, we're going to have to ask a little bit about each of your backgrounds because it really is intriguing. But I will start with a question specifically about the work, not the person. Tell us what it is that the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank does, where it does it, and what it is that you most want people to know about the challenges being faced.
Okay, I'd be pleased to. Basically, the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank is a hub which collects food. This past year, 21 million pounds of food, and distributes that food to 304 partner agencies, mostly faith-based organizations, Boys and Girls Clubs, shelters, and soup kitchens. We are feeding, through our partner agencies, over 104,000 people a month, and that's just in our piece of Virginia, which includes 25 counties and 9 cities. We have distribution centers in Winchester, Lynchburg, Charlottesville, and Verona. The dilemma we're faced with as a network, we as the hub, and Bonnie and other folks who actually distribute the food to people in need, is that the demand has doubled in 4 years in terms of the number of people needing emergency food assistance and the amount of food that is being distributed. The scary part of this whole thing, Tom, is that the supply of food is diminishing at a time when the need is increasing. It's diminishing for a couple of reasons. The government, which is a huge supplier of donated food to food banks through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, is reacting to the increasing cost of food, coupled with the deficit reduction efforts in Washington, and is hence buying less and thus donating less. Food manufacturers have gotten more in control of their operations and aren't increasing their excess inventories, which they used to donate to us, and their operations have gotten more efficient, so they aren't making the historical mistakes of upside-down labels and twisted boxes, which used to be donated to food banks but are now being sold to secondary market, mostly dollar stores, and hence they make 30 cents on the dollar and as versus no cents on the dollar donating it to food banks. So we have the perfect storm. Demand is going up. The supply of food is going down. And this is a national crisis, but we feel it most in our neighborhoods, in our 25 counties and 9 cities, where folks who sit next to you at church on Sunday may be clients of food banks. It isn't just anecdotal anymore that folks say, last year I was a donor to the food bank, this year I'm a client. You see folks coming up, driving up. We have some walk-ins in our distribution centers, a mom and dad and 2 kids. The dad rarely gets out of the car. The mom and the 2 kids come in and ask for a box of food. It's heart-rending, but I'll tell you what, in all my years of working in white-collar jobs and in businesses, the immediate satisfaction I and my colleagues get from being able to deliver a basic necessity of life is beyond really comprehension. It's enormous, and it's so, so worthwhile, but it's frightening because it's not getting any better.
Larry Zippin, you mentioned that you are currently supplying food to about 104,000 people?
Yes.
A month?
Yes.
And in the 25 counties and 9 cities that you serve, if I recall correctly, Larry, that amounts to, in that entire geographic area, a population of about 1.3 million people.
Exactly.
Can't do the math fast enough in my head. Do you know what percentage of those 1.3 million people are ending up in need of food?
11.1%.
And that's doubled in the past four years.
Yes, it has.
I realize it's an obvious question, but I got to ask why.
Jobs. Many clients of food banks are working. They're the working poor. They're the recently unemployed who have now become poor. And it's not recently unemployed, actually. It's people who lose their jobs now. It's taking months and perhaps years for them to be reemployed, and their jobs perhaps might not be there when they're ready, when jobs become available, because they will have lost the skills they needed. So I think basically it's jobs. It's the economy.
We have 2 ways for you to reach us here on Virginia Insight by phone. Our phone number is easy to remember, is 888-WMRA-TALK. On Facebook, you can find us listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. We don't usually encourage anybody to send us emails because we're hooked to some institutional internet servers such that, at least on occasion, someone can send us an email and we don't receive it until hours later. So during a live show, that doesn't always work too well. We did, however, get an email that was sent early this morning and arrived in time for us to include it. This is from a woman who asked us not to use her name, so we'll just call her Anne for anonymous. It's kind of long, but it hits some pretty important points, Larry, so I want to read as much of this as I can for you. She says, I live in a community visited by the food bank truck. The truck dispenses food at a local church. When it arrives, the lines are snaking out almost to the street, and the sheriff's department has to control traffic around the site. I'm aware that there are many people who are down on their luck. They've lost a job and haven't been able to find another. Their car or truck has been repossessed, and they can't get to work, or they have health issues and no insurance. I am 100% in favor of these people receiving assistance, especially if they are elderly or have small children. But I have seen with my own eyes and talked to some of the workers who back this up, seen able-bodied people with jobs or other sources of income, nice cars, good clothes, standing in line, not only at this truck, but going to each of the other locations in turn. This way, they can have plenty to eat and save the rest of their money for luxuries. They are essentially taking food from the mouths of the truly needy. They know what they are doing because if anyone tries to photograph the line, they turn away or step behind someone else. Many of us are working well past retirement age, scraping out a living as best we can, and it is rather shocking to see others taking advantage of a service meant for those not so fortunate. There must be some way to screen these people and stop this exploitation. End quote from Anne.
Bonnie, would you like
that? Well, we haven't even introduced Bonnie or told people who she is yet.
I'm sorry. That's Larry then. Oh, Larry will answer this then. As I mentioned earlier, we're feeding through our partner agencies 104,000 people a month. There is no doubt that there are some people amongst that 104,000 who are gaming the system. But there is also no way that the majority of 104,000 people are gaming the system. People might have a nice car. Maybe they can't afford to put gas in that car to get to their work in the next town over the mountain. Or maybe they're collecting food for their neighbors who don't have a car and can't come to the food bank. I really think, and we hear this observation with some regularity, that we're being ripped off. There's a biblical quote somewhere that it is better to feed 1,000 dishonest people than to turn away one hungry person. But it's absolutely reversed. There may be one dishonest person, but there are 9 who are in need.
Well, also with us, as Larry has hinted, here in the Insight Studio, is the program coordinator for a church-based effort that is struggling to provide food for increasing numbers of people in need in southern Albemarle, as well as portions of Buckingham and Fluvanna counties. From the group that calls itself the Bread of Life Ministry, Bonnie Cooper, thank you for making time for us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I wanted to say something in addition to what Larry said about the people who may be scamming the system. People show up at our site at 7 o'clock in the morning. They identify themselves as being among the rural needy, and then they stay in line and wait until the doors open at 10 o'clock, or the truck in this case opens at 10 o'clock. I find it hard to believe that there are many people who would come and wait for 3 hours, identify themselves as needy, and not really be needing the food that they come for. So they're, who knows, people may have bought that nice necklace or that nice shirt when they were working. When you become unemployed, you don't lose everything that you own immediately. So people look and make false assumptions about many of the people. And like Larry, I'm not saying that there's no one that ever scams, but I talk to these people every day, and I can tell you they're few and far between.
And let me help paint that picture a little bit. I've witnessed many of these distributions of food, people lining up 3 hours before in the rain, in the snow, in the cold, with toddlers and strollers, with people in wheelchairs. Now, there isn't any way. An anonymous person thought that it's okay for children and older people, but there is no way anybody but truly, truly needy, with very, very few exceptions, would tolerate those very, very difficult conditions to get a box of food or a bag of groceries. Just not, it's not human behavior.
Bonnie, the Bread of Life Ministry is based in Scottsville.
That's correct.
The community in southern Albemarle that actually lost its employment base a couple of years ago when the tire factory closed. It put about 100 people out of work.
It did. Many of the people in our community work in Charlottesville or somewhere out of the area. But it's true that when the tire plant closed, that put 100 people out of work. We have a kind of small pantry in that 5 years ago, we were probably feeding 45, 48 families. That number grew to be about 100 families. And we could see that there were...
Just over the past couple of years?
Oh, just over the past couple of years. And we could see that there were many, many more people out there that needed our help. We had no storage. We had no money. We have 5 very small churches that support us. They give us a donation each month. But we just could not expand any further. So
We'll get to... Well, I know what you're going to say about the new development.
Right.
But just so people know... the Bread of Life Ministry, you mentioned people standing outside for 3 hours before you open. You supply food once a month.
Well, our we have 2 programs. One's once a month and one's every the second and fourth Tuesday.
Oh, well, good. Then we're going to need to clarify that, too, since I already got part of it wrong.
Okay.
And we have an additional guest who actually is at a meeting of food bank officials from around the country going on right now in Chicago. We'll get to her in just about 1 minute. Lawrence Zippin is Chief Executive Officer of the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Bonnie Cooper is Program Coordinator for the Bread of Life Ministry. And Bonnie, before we introduce our next guest, tell us a little bit more about what the Bread of Life Ministry is and does and when it does it.
Okay. The Bread of Life Ministry originally was a once-a-month food pantry for people in the Scottsville area, close into Scottsville, Esmont, Keene, the parts of Buckingham and Fluvanna counties that are in the Scottsville zip code. That program has grown and grown and grown to the point where there are 100 families who are coming there for food now. We don't have enough storage. We don't have enough money. We have stretched our program just as far as we can, but there are many more people in our area that need food. So last January, the food bank came to us and said, we're going to offer a new program. We'd like the Bread of Life Ministry to be a partner in this. And they explained to us that they have a big truck, a mobile food pantry that comes that has a refrigerated section and a freezer section and a dry shelf-stable food section, and that they could bring us frozen, fresh, and shelf-stable foods for people in our community, and we wouldn't have to pay for the food, but we would have to come up with the volunteers. At this point, between both programs, we probably have between 50 and 60 volunteers who come out to pack the food, to distribute the food to the clients, we deliver to something like 55 families get home delivery now for people who don't have a car or people who are too ill to drive. So these two programs now work hand in hand. The mobile food pantry, we're currently feeding over 400, sometimes 435. I think the biggest turnout we had was 465 families. The truck is only designed to hold food enough for 400 families. So we're now trying to work with the food bank to make sure that people are going to the mobile food pantry that's closest to their home. And those mobile food pantries are just starting to open in other locations around us. So very soon, we hope that we'll be able to spread that program out. When the program first started, the food bank was able to provide us with about 50 pounds of food for each family. But as Larry told you, the amount of food that they're getting is less and less all the time.
While the number of people needing it is up and up.
Continues to grow. So at this point, I think we probably get about 38 pounds of food per family. So we really need those people who can't come out and volunteer and who really want to help. Maybe they could send a check to the food bank and help provide some of that food that we need to feed to the folks that really need it.
Well, joining us now by phone is a former Charlottesville attorney who left that career just last year to take a full-time job as Director of Programs and Agency Relations for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, Daron Samuel Siegel. Good to be speaking with you, Daron.
Hi, Tom and Larry and Bonnie. It's a pleasure to be joining you.
So in Chicago, where you are now, there is some sort of convention of food banks going on?
That's right. It's a conference sponsored by Feeding America, which is a national hunger relief organization. There are 202 food banks throughout the country who are members of Feeding America. We're one of those members. And Feeding America does a lot of advocacy at the national level and fundraising and so forth. And in addition to that, they offer opportunities for those of us who work in food banks to come together, share ideas, and explore new ways to innovate in the face of the growing need that we're all facing.
Well, Daron, we had you listening on the phone here for the past few minutes, so you heard much of what Larry and Bonnie have already had to say. I'm curious if what we've been hearing from them is similar to what you've been hearing from your food bank colleagues from around the country?
Absolutely. It couldn't be more similar, and in fact, the experience of the 400 or so of us who are attending here in Chicago now is just one of, we chuckle sort of in each session at the commonalities that we are experiencing. We come to these conferences with questions for each other, concerns, and a sense of the challenges we're facing, and we get to commune and share with others who are facing just precisely the same challenges. Now, there's a different character, here and there, depending on the nature of the area, urban areas, rural areas, sometimes face the challenges in slightly different ways, but we really are all seeing increased need in our communities, decreased donations both at the national level, donations from large manufacturers and retailers, as well as decreases in local donations.
Daron, this is Larry. I think it might be helpful for the listeners to hear about some of the barriers that we face collectively as a network, not only the diminishing supply of food, but the distribution of such food through our partner agencies.
Absolutely. So Larry's alluded to our partner agencies. We work with 304 partners throughout our 25-county, 9-city service area. Bonnie represents one of those partners, and she has 303 colleagues. Their pantries, many of which are run by churches, their soup kitchens, their shelters. And those partners are staffed almost entirely by volunteers, just like Bonnie. In fact, more than 80% of the people who work in these 304 centers are volunteers. And they are functioning out of church basements sometimes, out of small community centers and so forth. And so they face challenges, for example, of storage space. Bonnie alluded to that earlier when she talked about the mobile food pantry truck. If you're feeding 100 families or 1,000 families or 3,000 families, as some of our partner agencies do each month, you need refrigerators and shelving and freezers to store the food and be able to have it ready for folks when they come in. And those things aren't cheap. So in addition to having storage challenges, many of our partners are also faced with financial challenges. Our partners are able to obtain food from us at no charge. They do have costs. They share some of the shipping and handling, small shipping and handling fees that we incur, but they also have to pay utility bills and other sorts of things. Add to that a third level of challenge, which is the challenge of volunteer, the volunteer community. We have amazing volunteers throughout our region. Thousands of people who are working on a weekly and sometimes daily basis in these pantries. Many of those volunteers are retirees, senior citizens, who fortunately for all of us have the time and the ability to participate in this system. But that volunteer core needs help. We need to bring in a new generation of folks who are going to be willing to learn how this works and be ready to take over when some of our friends who are in their 80s or 90s are not able to give the way.
Well, let's talk about motivation. Daron, you may have provided us with the perfect segue because this is something I need to ask each of you about. Starting with you, Larry Zippin, you spent almost a quarter century with the American Insurance Association,
right.
the trade group, the lobbying group for America's insurance industry, known as an exceptionally powerful force in American politics. By the time you left, you had spent a number of years as their chief operating officer and executive vice president.
That's correct.
Could that job be any more different than what you're doing today? Or is that about as polar opposite as you can get?
Well, with the exception of skydiving, perhaps, and jet fighter piloting, I think they are at opposite ends of the spectrum.
So how does a guy who used to do that, and I won't ask unless you want to tell what your salary was, but I imagine that it was healthy.
It was healthy.
Making a fair bit of change in the heart of American business, end up doing what you are doing today?
Well, as I think I confessed to you in our earlier conversation, my slightly left of center leanings, plus my compassion for my fellow human beings, led me to the conclusion that while I was in possession of at least some of my faculties and had some energy, that I would rather devote those energies and talents to helping my fellow citizens, my neighbors, my children's friends, my grandparents' friends. There was just too much need out there, which led me, and too much suffering, which led me in an intermediate step to the Alzheimer's Association, which I ran in much of Central and Western Virginia for a number of years, and then through some serendipitous events, I found myself at the food bank.
Where, yeah, I understand the story goes that, that you actually retired, and right. and about 6 months later, somebody was persuading you to take over the opening that had come up at the food bank. What I guess I'm curious about is, Larry, if there may have been something that happened in your mind along the lines of spent almost 25 years here, I've risen to the top of the heap, I've done lots of impressive stuff as far as anybody's resume is concerned, lots of status, my bank account is more than okay, maybe now it's time to do something for a different kind of sense of reward.
I think that, that stream of logic sounds very good, but I'm not sure I can identify that that's indeed how the process worked with me. It was largely serendipitous. I knew I didn't want to work anymore, quote, shilling, unquote, for insurance companies.
So are you or are you not in a particularly good position to say to other people with your level of talent, your level of skill, your level of experience, come on, now it's time to try something that's more focused on helping others than it is focused on helping your own personal bank account?
Well, yeah, but that you're exaggerating the insidiousness of embellishing one's personal bank account. 200 employees of the American Insurance Association. They earned a salary. They all weren't making big bucks. They supported families. They contributed to the economy. So it wasn't a zero-sum game.
But I'm talking particularly about people who have risen to the level of success that you have as executive vice president, as chief operating officer of this very important, successful concern, and going almost 180 degrees turn in the type of work you decided to do. I wonder if there aren't other people today who are in careers where they've been successful in business and are saying to themselves, you know, this just doesn't quite feel like I'm getting out of it what I need to.
Unquestionably, yes. And I'll tell you something. The notion that not-for-profit organizations aren't businesses is flat out wrong. We could not survive. We could not have grown in 30 years from distributing 500,000 pounds of food to distributing 21 million pounds of food to one that served 35 agencies to now serving 304 agencies, or not business principles applied. So I think someone who runs a large organization, and make no mistake, I knew as much about forklifts and trailer tractors as I do about quantum mechanics. It's a complex business. Giving away food is not a fool's chore. It's complex, it's costly, and efficiency at the end of the day, we're dealing with donor dollars. We don't make anything. We don't make widgets that we sell for a markup. A donor dollar, a great factoid about the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, 96 cents of every dollar we receive goes directly to food and programs. There aren't many charities that can say that. And that doesn't happen because people without any business acumen are running the organization.
So to you who are listening, do you have questions about the business of food banking? Do you have thoughts about what it means that food banks like the Blue Ridge area are now facing such challenges, so many more people in need, while the amount of food that they have to give away is decreasing? Do you have a sense of what could or should be done? Our phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. On Facebook, we're listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Maybe you have a similar story of having made some sort of life challenge or life change in your life because you wanted a different kind of challenge, one that you felt was more in concert with connecting with other human beings. We'd love to hear your story, too, at 888-WMRA-TALK. And it seems to me, Jerome Samuel Siegel, that you have a somewhat similar story, although you did it a bit earlier in your career. You were an attorney in private practice for 7-8 years and decided it was time to do something quite different.
That's true. I have I feel great good fortune for having the opportunity to make my professional life really come very much into line with my personal values. Although there's certainly a way to do that in whatever profession we undertake, and there as a lawyer in private practice, there are ways that we can be, and in the local bar are very supportive of those in need around us. And I'll add to that, Tom, it's certainly an option for folks who are interested in making a career change. I would be happy to sing the praises for hours and hours of the change that I've made. But I think it's important to mention that every person in the community who's in a position to give can do so, even if he or she doesn't want to change jobs, whether it's donating some food to the food bank, whether it's stroking a check in whatever amount, or giving of their time on evenings and weekends. There are all sorts of ways, of course, to be supportive. You don't need to do it from 9 to 5. You can do it from 5 to 8 p.m. or Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. And without all of the folks who are doing that, this whole system would be impossible.
Bonnie Cooper, I know you have a somewhat different story about how you came to the work that you're doing as a volunteer, and I want to ask you about that, but we're already starting to get some calls, so let's go first. This is from Charlottesville. Rose, thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for Bonnie Cooper, Larry Zippin, and or Daron Samuel Siegel, please.
Well, this question is for anyone who cares to answer it. Mr. Zippin was discussing the food bank as a business, and I was wondering how much coordination there is among the various organizations that feed people in our area, even across the country. We see so many different nonprofits asking for help and support, and I was just wondering if all of these organizations coordinate with each other.
Yes and no. We coordinate with the other 204 food banks that are members of Feeding America. We share best practices, we share resources, and we share food. For example, if we were suddenly faced with an oversupply of tomato soup and the food bank across the state had an oversupply of carrots, we could swap. Now, we know that there are other organizations that supply food to people in need, and there is no close coordination between us and them. But at the end of the day, what we say, is that there can't be too many organizations feeding hungry people. Now, again, that opens up the critical observation that people are shopping from pantry to pantry and filling their larders with surplus food. We don't believe that to be the case, but there is coordination amongst the largest food pantries, food banks, and soup kitchens.
Rose, does that address your question?
It certainly does. Thank you so much, and thank you all for the wonderful work you do.
Thank you for calling in. We're going to have to pause for a brief break here in just a few moments. Please, if you haven't already, mark down this phone number, 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. We'll have just a few more minutes to take calls when we get back from the break. If you have thoughts about the need for food in America, or perhaps what can be done to help the situation, we'd love to hear from you. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. The Bread of Life Ministry is a church-based group working to feed the poor in southern Albemarle, as well as portions of Buckingham and Fluvanna counties. Bonnie Cooper is that ministry's program coordinator. The Blue Ridge Area Food Bank provides food for more than 300 groups like Bonnie's, food pantries and soup kitchens and other charitable organizations across a region that encompasses 25 Virginia counties and 9 cities. Larry Zippin is the food bank's CEO. Daron Samuel Siegel is the food bank's director of programs and agency relations. Phone number again, 888-WMRA-TALK. Anne in Crozet, thank you for using that number and calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Hi, I just wondered if someone could share any information about if there's any programs going on using local produce that's available in the area but not maybe not sold at farmers markets or not sold to restaurants, or if there's any local farmers participating. If the food bank has any way that to use that type of fresh food compared to the shelf-stable or frozen food that they traditionally get. And I'll hang up and listen off the air.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you so much, Ann, for asking. This is Bonnie from the Bread of Life Ministry in Scottsville. And in addition to the food that we get from the food bank, we have had partners with a local farm that provides us food. We're partners with the local food hub, which is a regional educational organization that works with organic farms. So we're very fortunate in that we can give organic food. We have an egg farm that gives us eggs. Hunters for the Hungry provide us with venison in the fall. We have a woman who has a bread ministry who goes around to all the stores in Charlottesville, and in the evening, the bread that isn't sold, that can't be sold again the next day, she takes and puts in her freezer and brings to us. So we're partnering with as many different people as we can to supplement what we're getting from the food bank in order to keep up. What we need is more volunteers and more help from the food bank.
And Daron, do I understand, or maybe Larry, this is a question for you, that a number of years ago, the food bank made a conscious decision to move towards including as much additional fresh produce and
dairy, right,
as it could.
The dilemma is, and as Bonnie's organization sort of illustrates in a way, churches weren't established to be major food distribution centers. They're staffed by volunteers, they're short on space, they're short on refrigeration and freezers. Fresh produce, as we all know, has a short shelf life. If a church pantry is only open once a month for a few hours in the afternoon, we are not capable of delivering fresh produce to 304 soup kitchens, food pantries, or shelters on an immediate as-needed basis. So systemically, there are barriers, but we have increased dramatically the amount of fresh produce we are acquiring from local farmers and from supermarkets and distributing that.
John, thank you for calling us here on Virginia Insight. I don't know where you're calling from, so would you start by telling us that, please?
I'm actually north of Harrisonburg, but from Crozet.
Okay, and you're driving?
Yes.
Safely. Are you still there?
What?
What? Please go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, sorry. I was just curious. I know that we have real issues around hunger, particularly child hunger, and at the same time we have real issues around childhood obesity. And I wonder if the food bank in particular is doing any programs to address that or kind of how to think about addressing those issues at the same time. And I will hang up and listen, too. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Sure. Thanks for the question, John. So the food bank does have a number of child programs directed specifically at alleviating childhood hunger, in addition to our partnerships with our 304 pantry partners. We do a number of after-school snack programs and meal programs and things of that nature, and we're serving about 7,500 children per year. You ask about the complex interrelationship between childhood hunger and childhood obesity, and we do include in a number of our programs educational opportunities for kids and their families to receive literature. We have a program in cooperation with the Virginia Cooperative Extension, which provides classes for parents and kids on nutrition, on cooking on a budget, cooking nutritiously, and so on. And it's important to keep in mind that access to food is really the challenge for many of our neighbors. Folks aren't necessarily hungry on a day-in and day-out basis, but they may not know where their next meal is going to come from. And so we're really working to make sure that access is available and that there's access to nutritious food. About 85% of what we distribute is nutritious, and that's a very intentional action on our part.
John, I have an exhibit I want to share with you that addresses this question. I sometimes, when I'm making presentations to community groups, I lay out 20 packages of ramen noodles, and a sign in front says $4.07. On the other side of the table, I put down a stalk of broccoli, 3 carrots, and 2 peppers, and that's $4.07. If you're trying to feed a hungry family, which one are you going to pick? Secondly, as long as there are dollar meals in places down the street, and as long as people have forgotten or never knew how to cook, it's going to be a long haul until we begin to change people's eating habits, just as it's taken a long time for people to stop smoking in any large numbers. But it's definitely a challenge. It's expensive to buy healthy food. It's expensive to be poor.
I can join in on that a little bit, because I can tell you that the advent of the mobile food pantry has made a tremendous difference in our area, in that now, in addition to the shelf-stable foods, we're getting things like zucchini and fresh carrots and onions and potatoes and sweet potatoes, things that we were never able to have before because we had no way to store those. So Jefferson Area Food Bank has been very, very helpful in making sure that our community gets more fresh food.
The dilemma is, of course, that many people don't know how to prepare zucchini, much like they probably never have heard of zucchini.
Fortunately, people that live in the country, you'd be surprised what folks know how to prepare. We also give recipes.
Right.
Frequently,
right.
We will hand out recipes
food. That's an interesting point, because we're talking, one, about you being based in Bonnie Cooper with the Bread of Life Ministry in Southern Albemarle, which is going to surprise people to hear about the need there, because most people think of Albemarle County, surrounding Charlottesville as it does, as being quite a wealthy area. But when you're talking Southern Albemarle, that's quite a bit different than Northern Albemarle County.
Very different.
And in addition to that, in Southern Albemarle and in the areas of Fluvanna and Buckingham that you serve, we're talking about very rural areas. And again, I think maybe in this country we've gotten used to the idea of the poor who need help with food being in cities, and you've got just the opposite going on.
We do have just the opposite going on. People in our area who get laid off from a job can't go to whatever fast food restaurant or whatever low-paid job is available. They can't afford the gas to get to Charlottesville to go to those jobs. People in our community are often older people. Young people in our community, once they get out of school, tend to go to the cities, and so we have a very high elderly population, and it's not easy for people in rural areas to get to where jobs are. It's just that, simple.
Or even to get to where church pantries are.
That's correct.
We've had volunteers who have been with us for years, who came in 2-3 times a week, now come in once every other week. And in response to why, they say, I can't afford the gas. That's a 12-mile round trip from their homes to the food bank.
And that's why we deliver to about 55 right. families now.
Jerome Samuel Siegel, talking to us from the meeting that you're at in Chicago. As the food bank, the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank's director of agency relations and programs, that sounds to me like a job that means that you communicate on a regular basis with the more than 300 organizations that the food bank supplies food to, and they then distribute it. Am I right on that?
You're right.
What I'm curious about is, what is it that you're hearing from all those different places about what they need most, about what people who care about this type of situation could be doing to help?
Well, they need volunteer help, period, full stop. They need funding, and they need innovative spaces and new spaces, new ways to use space. They need refrigeration. People who have old refrigerators that are still well-functioning, especially commercial-size coolers and freezers, those things that I've just highlighted are really the most essential and most pressing needs on the part of our partners throughout the communities.
Don't forget food, Daron.
Well, food, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes, sometimes we forget the elephant in the room, right? What brings us all here? The fact that the United States Department of Agriculture has drastically reduced as much as 40% over last year reduction, the food that it's donating to our system means that there's a risk that shelves that used to be full enough to feed the needy folks in a particular community may be getting empty more quickly and more often. So the need for food certainly can't be overstated.
And from the food hub's perspective, not the food hub in Charlottesville, but from the food bank's perspective, $1 enables us to buy enough food for 4 meals. We buy so much food, we have that kind of buying power. So if anyone was inclined to be of immediate assistance to help alleviate the issue of declining food donations, I would encourage them to send us $1.
There is a link to it on our own webpage that I'll talk a bit more about in a few minutes. But just as a first reminder, tell us the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank's easy-to-remember web address.
Well, cleverly, just the initials of Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, BRAFB.org.
United States Congress has a so-called super committee that sometime around Thanksgiving is supposed to come out with a plan to be cutting the U.S. federal government's budget by about $1.3 trillion at least over the next 10 years. You mentioned already that the food that food banks had been getting through federal programs at the Department of Agriculture have gone way down. Are you worried that people are going to be even more in need and even less food is going to be available as a result of the coming federal budget cuts?
Yes, Tom. I can certainly say that we are worried. And there are a couple of particular programs I'd like to make sure our listeners are aware of. There's a program called the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is abbreviated TFAP, and it's very much on the minds of us and well-known to the legislators who are involved in budget discussions. It's that program that provides food through the United States Department of Agriculture to us and in turn to our partner agencies. And there's a real threat of substantial cuts in that food. Keep in mind, again, 25% of the food we distribute historically has come through TFAP and is already, as I said a moment ago, being cut by in excess of 40% most recently or reduced by that amount. We need to really make sure that program is not reduced. In addition, I'd like to draw to folks' attention a program called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That's the new name for what used to be known as food stamps, and we abbreviate that SNAP. For every dollar that is spent, for every dollar in food stamps or SNAP assistance that comes to one of our neighbors in need, there's a multiplier. About $1.76 actually goes into the local economy. Families who are in need of food are getting supplemental help from our pantry partners and from the food bank, but really the help we provide isn't enough for them. They need the food stamp program, the SNAP program, and in fact our communities as a whole benefit from that program because of the economic multiplier I just mentioned. That is on the drawing board just like TFAP, and I'd certainly encourage folks in the community who are interested in advocating to remember TFAP and SNAP and to make sure their legislators know about the importance of those two programs to our community.
Bonnie Cooper, before we run out of time, I want to ask a little bit about your personal background, and I'm sorry that we are so short on time on this, but your story, I think, is also important because for a number of years before you retired, you, in effect, were head of personnel. I don't think that was the title of it, but in effect, head of personnel for Colonial Williamsburg, and for many years before that, you had worked in the field of business. Your husband is an attorney and also a college professor. You both decided to retire to this area south of Charlottesville in southern Albemarle County. You could have just spent your retirement years traveling, having fun, and yet both of you, you and your husband Bill, do a tremendous amount of work trying to make sure people who need it get food. How come? And what do you think would cause somebody else who might be listening to try the same thing?
You said we could have been traveling around the world having fun. We are having fun. We have a great deal of fun. We love our community. We love living in a rural area. We love knowing who our neighbors are, knowing the people we're helping, and feeling like we're making a real difference in our community. We didn't want to live in a neighborhood where you drive into your garage and your garage door closes and you don't know your neighbors and you don't care for each other. We love living in the kind of community where everyone is there to help their neighbors. And that's what it's all about.
We are out of time, but let me ask this if I could, Larry Zippin, for anything mentioned today that somebody wants more information about, the place to start would be?
BRAFB.org.
Our guests have been, by phone, Director of Agency Relations and Programs for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, Daron Samuel Siegel. Here in studio, the food bank CEO, Larry Zippin, plus the program coordinator for the Scottsville-based Bread of Life Ministry, Bonnie Cooper. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Insight's executive producer is Matt Bingay. Our associate producers are Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jaspe and Inner Rhythm. You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on Programs, and then clicking on Insight Archives. Now, if you go to that page, you will find links to more information about all of our guests. Plus, if you go to the Virginia Insight Facebook page and click like, you'll have access to a whole bunch more information about our broadcasts there as well. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.